finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
There are stories that linger, like the rustling of leaves on a still night, faint whispers of something you can't quite explain, but you can't ignore. This is one of those stories. It begins in a small, quiet town in Puerto Rico, where the walls of an old family home seem to hold more than just memories. Tonight, we'll follow the account of Zahrain E., a young girl whose life changed forever when the shadows of her family's past came to life in ways no one could have predicted. Her story is one of cold stares from yellow eyes, whispers from unseen mouths, and the inexplicable grip of fear that crept into her heart and never quite let go. Was Zahrain merely a child caught in the crossfire of folklore and superstition? Or did her family's history invite something far more sinister into their lives? It's a question with no easy answer, and one that will haunt you long after the story ends. Let's get to the letter. They write, "The year, if I'm not mistaken, was 1984. I remember it well because I was preparing to start kindergarten. We lived in Ceramica, a small rural barrio in Puerto Rico, about 30 minutes from San Juan. Our house, a modest but sturdy structure, had been left to my mother and Aunt Mercedes by my grandmother, Anna. She passed away shortly after I was born, and though I have no memory of her, her presence in my life is undeniable. Anna was a figure of fascination and fear in our community. The whispers about her were constant, stories of her beauty, her strength, and more often than not, her supposed power. Some called her a healer, others a witch. It was said that men fell for her with an intensity that bordered on obsession. These tales told in hushed tones by neighbors always made me uneasy, especially because everyone insisted I looked just like her. My full name, Zahrain E., was a tribute to her. I didn't give much thought to the gossip about my grandmother until one night an encounter with a drunken neighbor shattered my indifference. This woman, known around town for her strange behavior, staggered up to our house and announced she had my grandmother's hair and nails stored in a jar in her medicine cabinet. She claimed she had cut them after Anna's burial to use in brujería, witchcraft, and I was furious, disgusted, and frightened. To clear my mind, I ran outside to our backyard, a place I often went to escape the weight of my thoughts. That night, the sky was clear, and the full moon bathed everything in an otherworldly glow. I sat under one of our Gunabana trees, staring up at the stars and imagining faraway places. Then I heard it, a low hoot coming from above me. Looking up, I saw a pair of glowing yellow eyes. My first thought was that it was an owl, though I'd never seen one in Puerto Rico before. I crept closer, captivated by the way those eyes seemed to cut through the darkness. But as I approached, the eyes didn't blink, didn't move. Instead, they became sharper, more focused. That's when I noticed the outline of something else, something human-like sitting on the branch. It wasn't an owl, it was a figure, silent, still, and watching me. A cold fear took hold of me, and I screamed. My mother and our neighbor came running. The neighbor, wide-eyed, looked up at the tree and gasped. She claimed to see the same thing I did. A dark figure perched in the branches, unmoving and eerie. My mother clutched me tightly as the neighbor murmured a prayer, her voice trembling. After that night, I was forbidden to go into the backyard alone. But it didn't matter. Whatever it was, it followed me. At first, the signs were small. Shadows would flicker in the corners of my vision, but when I turned to look, nothing was there. Sometimes I'd hear faint whispers, soft, unintelligible, and impossible to trace. Objects in the house began to disappear, only to reappear days later in strange places. My mother tried to reassure me, but I could tell she was uneasy too. The turning point came when I started seeing faces in the windows. They'd appear at night, pale and expressionless, staring in from the darkness. I stopped sleeping near windows altogether. The worst incident happened in the hallway one evening. My mother and Aunt Mercedes were trying to get me to bed, and I remember feeling an odd, heavy exhaustion. Later, they told me that I got up after falling asleep and started crawling down the hallway. But I have no memory of this. What they saw was far more terrifying. As they followed me, they noticed another figure crawling ahead of me, a woman in white, moving silently but deliberately. My mother screamed, and whatever it was disappeared as quickly as it had appeared. After that night, my family became desperate. They sprinkled holy water in every room and hung crosses above the doors, but the activity only seemed to intensify. My mother began waking up with bruises and scratches on her arms, which she couldn't explain. One night, a picture of my grandmother fell from the wall, shattering the glass. It felt like the house itself was alive and angry. The incident that finally drove us from the house happened late one night. I was lying in bed between my mother and my sister, Zilkia. The three of us often slept together because none of us felt safe alone anymore. I had been restless all evening, unable to fall asleep despite the warmth of their presence. At some point, the need to use the bathroom became unbearable, but I was too afraid to move. The hallway to the bathroom seemed impossibly dark, and the memory of the woman in white crawling ahead of me haunted my thoughts. I squeezed my eyes shut, willing the feeling to go away, but it only grew stronger. That's when I felt it, a heaviness pressing down on me, pinning me to the bed. My body went cold, my skin prickling as though icy needles were piercing it. I tried to call out to my mother, but my voice wouldn't come. My limbs were frozen and my heart raced as I stared up at the ceiling, unable to look away. At first, it was just a mist, vague and shapeless, swirling slowly above us. But as I watched, it began to take form. A face emerged, pale and grotesque, with eyes so dark they seemed like voids. Hands followed, long and bony, reaching down toward me. I wanted to scream, to run, but all I could do was watch as it hovered closer. The hands brushed my face, cold and lifeless, then moved down my arms as though searching for something. It felt like it was probing me, testing me, trying to understand what I was. I could hear a faint, raspy breathing, so close it felt like it was right next to my ear. I don't know how I managed it, but eventually I let out a strangled gasp. My mother and sister woke up immediately, their panic filling the room. My mother reached for me, shaking me and calling my name, but I couldn't respond. The mist pulled back suddenly, retreating toward the floor, and then it went under the bed. What happened next is still hard to explain. The entire room shook violently, as though caught in an earthquake. Lamps toppled, glass shattered, and the wind, an unnatural howling wind, filled the house. My mother screamed prayers in Spanish, clutching Zilkia and me as the chaos continued. Then, just as suddenly as it began, it stopped. The air was still, the house silent. But the fear remained. I don't remember much after that. My mother told me later that I fainted, and when I woke, we were packing to leave. She said she couldn't stay in a house that felt so wrong. We moved several times in the years that followed, but the experiences stayed with me. I began to notice things that others couldn't. Shadows that seemed to move on their own. Whispers that no one else could hear. Sometimes I'd see figures fleeting and translucent, just out of the corner of my eye. My family tried to help me, but they didn't understand what I was going through. I didn't understand it myself. I began to wonder if I was cursed, like my grandmother, or if I was simply losing my mind. Over time, I came to realize that these experiences were more than just random events. They felt connected, as though something had marked me that night in the house. I don't know if it was my grandmother's spirit, the figure in the tree, or something else entirely. What I do know is that the fear never really left. Even now, as I write this, I feel a heaviness in the air, a presence just out of reach. It's as though the past refuses to let me go, no matter how far I run. I'm sharing my story not for pity, but in the hope that someone can help me make sense of it. Maybe you'll see something I missed, or maybe you'll confirm what I've always feared, that some doors, once opened, can never truly be closed. Thank you for listening. Zaren E. Stories like Zaren E's stick with you, not because they provide easy answers, but because they leave you with so many questions. Was this the lingering presence of her grandmother, Anna, whose life and death were steeped in mystery and whispers of the supernatural? Or was it something darker, perhaps drawn to the family through a series of unfortunate events and misguided rituals? From a psychological perspective, there's much to unpack. Children are impressionable, and living in a home surrounded by tales of witchcraft and fear could easily manifest as night terrors, sleep paralysis, or even group hysteria within the family. The mind, especially when under stress, can blur the line between reality and imagination. But then, there are those details that defy explanation. The figure in the tree seen by both Zarani and the neighbor, the violent shaking of the house, the shared sighting of the woman in white crawling down the hallway, these are phenomena that stretch beyond the limits of psychology. They hint at something that exists outside our understanding, something that cannot be rationalized away. It's also hard to ignore the timing. If Anna was truly involved in Brujeria, intentionally or not, could her passing have left behind unfinished spiritual ties? Could the rumors of her power have attracted something malevolent to the family? Or more chillingly, was Zaren E herself marked as an heir to her grandmother's legacy, drawing the attention of forces beyond her control? Ultimately, the story leaves us with one haunting thought. Not every chapter of our lives ends when we move away. Some chapters follow us, lingering like shadows in the corners of our minds. For Zaren E, it seems, those shadows are still watching. What do you think? Is this a case of trauma manifesting in the paranormal, or are we witnessing a family caught in the crossfire of something far more sinister? Stay tuned for more stories that challenge the boundaries of belief. And remember, the truth is often stranger than we're willing to imagine.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.